In my personal Bible study, I'm going through Romans chapter 1 through 4. And just thinking about preaching, I preached in more Methodist churches than anything the past several years. And they need it. Oh, just kidding. I was looking at Hebrews chapter 1, which is a great passage on Jesus and that he is the radiance of the glory of God. And it's a beautiful passage. I'm like, man, maybe I can go there. And I was working on it. And God's like, ah, no, we're not going there. So I want to look at this passage, James chapter 1. And I do have a PowerPoint if y'all have got it. Do y'all have it? All right. We're going to be looking at, again, verses 2 through 4. But I want to read the whole through verse 12 because I think that's the whole idea of what James is writing. James is the half-brother of Jesus. He is writing to the 12 tribes that have been spread abroad. We don't know why they've been spread abroad. Some maybe, some trials and tribulations, probably so. James writes these words, and I'm going to begin in verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, whenever you've encountered various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and endurance, let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the man not ought to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with the scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower fades, falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Father God, we thank you for bringing us together. And Lord, through all of our circumstances and situations, you've brought us together for this night. You've set us in these places that we're sitting in with circumstances going on. You have a word for us. And now, Lord, I just pray that you would speak and not myself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've entitled this sermon, For Your Joyful Consideration. Consideration, what does consider mean? And it means to evaluate before making a decision. About 2 weeks ago, I had one of my kids I've been mentoring. He's a pastor in the Alex City area, and he was looking to go to another church. And he had another opportunity to go back to Indiana where he had served before. And he goes, which one do I choose? And that's the hardest situation we face as Christians, when both of them look right and both of them seem the right way. And I told him, I said, well, I'm just going to be blunt with you. You probably need to pray and fast, because God says we need to pray and fast for some decisions. And he was tossed to and fro, and he's going through a horrible situation at the church he's in. And I'm not going to go any detail. Lord knows what's going on there. And we've been talking through it, and God has finally pulled him out of it. And he's going to a church near Centerpoint, and we'll probably do great things. But I don't know about you, but I just want to share you where I ran into this passage. If you want to back up with me to 1993, I was a sophomore in college. I was a junior college, fixing to graduate with my associates and go on to West Georgia College. But during that summer, I was going to serve as a summer missionary in Rising Sun, Maryland. Anybody ever been there? All right, if you did, you got lost, okay? There's nothing but dairy farms. That is flat out it. Dairy farms everywhere. And I remember I was supposed to graduate in 3 days. I had finished all my finals. I was just sitting there. And like the Tuesday before, God brought this verse in my quiet time. And I remember that many years ago going, well, wait a minute. I'm good. I don't have any trials. God, I'm going to serve you in Maryland. And everything's going good. It was so good. My sister, my oldest sister, was fixing to have the first child, the first grandbaby. I was ready to be the crazy uncle, all right? Crazy Uncle Corey. Here we go. Yes, I can spoil her like crazy and give her back to her mama. And then I get the call. Tuesday, remember I had the quiet time. Thursday, I'm sitting on the stairs in my apartment. Y'all gonna laugh. With a guy named Charlie Brown. That's his real name. We're going to room together at the next college we were going to. And I remember picking up the wireless phone and putting it in my ear, and my mom's on the other line. And she said, your sister has gone for her last appointment, and they can't find the baby's heartbeat. The cords got wrapped around its neck. That was Thursday. In a matter of 2 days, I graduated. On Saturday morning, I walked, got my diploma, drove across the state of Georgia to my sister where she lives, and I was a pallbearer. Crazy uncle is carrying a casket the size of a cooler. And I'm going, what? The next morning, I had to get up, hit a 6 a.m. flight to go to Rising Sun, Maryland. But my family, they're back. They're crying. I need to be there. No, God says, no, you're going. And how the Holy Spirit does, he pops those verses back in your head. And I remember reading this, consider it all joy, my brothers, whenever you face various trials or encounter them. So I want to look at this because if you look at the surface, God looks like a sadistic God. Why would he put us through those things? He looks like the proverbial frat boy who is spanking the pledge and wanting him, sir, may I have another? Oh God, bring it upon me. Yeah, we want to go through trials. We want to go through sadness. You do once you read through what happens to your life. He says in this passage, and it's my first point, consider it is going to happen. Look what he says. Consider it. Pure joy. Or consider it all joy. I like what one commentary said. He says, consider it sheer joy. He said, my brethren. James uses brethren all throughout this book. And he's trying to get a connection with us personally. He says, when you encounter various trials, folks, trials are going to happen in your life. Now, what trial is this? I'm glad you asked. The word is periotsmo. It can either mean temptation, it can mean trial. But they put the word various, which actually in the Greek means multicolored. It can come anywhere, all kinds of trials. It can mean a death of a loved one. It can mean temptation you're going through. It can come from the inside. It can come from the outside. It can be whatever that causes your faith to be tested. You know, Martin Luther didn't like this book. He called it a strawy epistle. He said, there's not much in it. He's like, I don't like it. Don't talk about faith. Yes, it does. You have to understand what Martin Luther was going through. He was coming from the Catholic Church where they pressed upon them all these rules and these rules and these rules. And he says, no, grace alone. James talks about faith, but he wants us to understand. He says, look, when you face various trials, not if, when. It's going to happen. Medical, sickness, death. I don't know, it could be mental depression, whatever the case may be. He says, look, it is going to happen. But I want you to understand this. God doesn't mean that you have to go, oh great, my mother died. No. He tells us in 1 Thessalonians, look, I want you to understand this so that you will not mourn, that you will not grieve, that you will not have sorrow with people who have no hope. And what does he tell them? He says, oh, on the last days we will meet Christ in the air and we will be with the ones who are already passed away. What a glorious occasion. God knows you're going through sadness. Hello? Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Because Lazarus died. He understood the side of a man's emotions. It's going to happen. Job tells us in Job chapter 5, look, men will have trouble as the sparks go in the air. You ever had a campfire, throw a stick in there? Where'd the sparks go? Up in the air. The old saying is, you're either going into the storm or in the storm or coming out of a storm. But we serve a Savior who is there. John chapter 16, Jesus says, look, fear not, for I've overcome the world. In this world you'll have trouble, but fear not, for I've overcome the world. Look, if they crucify me, they're going to crucify you. We'll get to Paul later. We'll even get to Jesus later. It's one of my other points. It's going to happen. You are going to go through trials. You are going to have your faith tested. And what? Guess what? Praise God. He's doing a mighty work. Point number two, consider the reason. Look what he says. He says, look, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The reason is he wants us to be more like him. The reason is that we have been called to be a holy people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own possession. The problem is we're rotten. Mark told us how bad we were rotten last week. Amen. Because if we don't know how rotten we are, the good news is not good news. Consider the reason to test your faith. The question is, are you real? He's not here, but I'm going to pick on him anyway. I remember my first time at Man Cave. There was Marty Yeager sitting on the pew with his feet up, eating something, I think. And he made this statement. Well, I really don't know if any of you are saved. And I looked at him going, well, who died and made him Pope? And I wanted to get a hold of him, but I'm like, man, I'm the new guy. I think my wife likes this church. I better not get us eight ball right now. But as I began to know Marty and talk to him and have a relationship with him, I understand where he comes from. Folks, don't you want to know that your faith is real? Don't you want to know that when times get difficult, God has made you to where you can stand the test of time? Don't you want to know that when the Bible says too much is given, much is required, that he expects you to be tested with a little? Why? So he can give you more. To test your faith. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to turn there because this is a beautiful verse. Paul says the same thing in this chapter, verses 2. Romans chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. Through him, we also have attained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt, we rejoice in hope of the glory. And not only this, but we exalt in our tribulations. Knowing that the tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit which has given to us. Look at verse 12 back in James and see what he says. He says, look, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. What does Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says? And we know that all things work for the good of those, here's the catcher, who love him and are called according to your purpose. I remind people that every day. They got a loved one dying or they're the ones dying. I say, you know, God said it works for the good of those. But there's a prerequisite. And they said, what's that? I said, do you love him? Oh, I love him. Are you called according to your purpose? And sometimes I sit down with people and repent that are fixing to pass away. But the beauty is that we have a God who says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins. Consider the reason. It is to make you stronger. The word is perseverance. It is not the word macrophemia, which is patience. It is a different word, means to have staying power. God is testing you. God is bringing you through trials to get you staying power to walk the walk. That's beautiful. Thirdly, consider the reason, but consider the result. He says, look, to complete the work. Philippians, Paul says he is going to complete the good work that he began in us. He says, consider the reward of work. First one is to complete the work. The second one is to build perseverance. Look what he says. He says, knowing that testing of your faith, endurance or perseverance, and let endurance have its perfect result. I know I have told y'all I coach soccer, but I'm hurting really bad. I had practice with them Saturday. And I had a guy come in, and he was teaching some drills, and he's like, hey, we're going to play 6-on-6. You want to be the other goalie? And my mouth went, yeah. And my body said, what are you thinking? Let's just say it was a delight. I can take those high shots, but getting down on the ground, whew, that was rough. And then we didn't have practice Sunday, and Monday we practiced again, and they kicked the ball out of the ground, and y'all, it was like a cartoon. I went for that ball, and it was just like I froze in time. It was like, I can't move. And one of the kids like, I got it, coach. I hate getting old. But you know, that's what you do when you work out. You realize when you work out, you lift weights, you're shredding muscle. You're tearing down your body. When you run, you break your bones. It's called microfracturing. It is where there's little breaks in the bones, and then the bone goes, oh, really big guy's running. We got to strengthen his bones. Bam, let's strengthen his bones. That's why it's not smart to go and think you're going to run 10 miles tomorrow when you haven't walked 1 mile. Anybody done that? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that wasn't smart either. He said, look, this work is to build perseverance. It is bone breaking. It is to strengthen us. We grow through trials. Listen to this. I love J.C. Ryle said this. He says, we go through trials to draw closer, to be more dependent, and have great fellowship with God. I guarantee you, 95% of us, 95% of you would raise your hand. If I said, when were you closest to God? Many of you would talk about a trial that you went through. Because we begin to take inventory and we look at what's real and what's not real in our lives. We shed all the stuff. We cut off the TV. We put down the phone and we begin to get on our knees and going, okay, God, what is going on? If you want to read a great book, you need to get Manly Beasley's autobiography, or it might be a biography. Manly Beasley was a I don't want to call him evangelist, more like a revivalist in the 70s and 80s. And he had a horrific disease that ravaged his body. And he said, when I got the diagnosis, he got on a boat and went to an island and stayed there for 2 days. He brought jugs of water and did nothing but pray and fasted. And he told everybody when he came back, God will not heal me from this disease. He has told me that. And he said he had many people when he would preach a sermon and they would come up to him and they said, I'm praying God for you, for your healing. And he would just walk away and laugh because he knew they hadn't spent time with the Lord. We go through trials to bring us to perseverance, but we go through trials because it draws us closely. Thirdly, consider the result. The result is rejoicing, or to make you a better creation. Let me put that different. To make you a new, better creation. Many people think Christianity is to make the old self better. Then the old self's gone. It's dead. There's a disease in the books of the psychology called necrophilia. And it means in love with the dead. And many of us are draped with the old self on our backs. And we're walking around seeking God's victory. When he says, shed it off. I've made you a new creature. You're a new creature. All things have passed away. New things have come. Change is good, isn't it? But sometimes we got to learn the hard way or get to it through the hard way. Number four, consider him. Look what he says. He says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now go to verse 12. And we hit on this. He says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. All through my ministry, people have said, if we could just see God, if we could have a manifestation of God. And I'm going, he's here. But most people, what we try to do is we try to dodge these trials. And God's like, look, do you know who I am? I hold all things in my hands. Do you know who I am? I make the sun come up in the morning and I set it down in the evening. Do you know who I am? Job asked God that question. He complained about everything God put him through. And you know what God said? Do you know who I am? You see everything before you? I created it in 6 days. He told Moses the same thing. And he told Job, he says, can you control the Leviathan? No. He's God. He's God. And sometimes God brings the Father, brings these trials to make us who we need to be. And parents, you do the same thing. You will take your kid to a pediatrician in a white coat and you will set that kid down and let that man jab him with needles. Will you not? If they're really sick, you'll let them draw blood from their veins. Will you not? And then you'll let them write a little pad and give them some chemicals to put in their body to make them better. But we look at God like he's some sadistic, weird thing when he puts us through these things. And all he's doing is just giving us a vaccine to overcome the trials that are going to be greater in our life. What he's doing is drawing blood. Yes, it hurts. But he's trying to see if we're healthy to walk the Christian walk. Consider him who holds all things in his hands. Fifthly, say yes to joy. Consider joy. The process is horrible. I can't tell you what I say to my hospice patients because my mama would knock me out. But I tell them, hey, this is horrible. This is bad. It stinks. And you know, a lot of times they'll open up because they don't want no, I don't go in with cliches. Cliches don't work when somebody's dying and mama's dying and passed away. Don't work. I said, this is horrible. You're going to go through horrible times. We're going through a horrible time. My wife has been limping around. I call her, she's got a horse's foot because she kind of keeps it off the ground sometimes. Since July, we've been going through pain. She hadn't slept in a bed in 6 months. It's horrible. And sometimes she looks at me like, do you not care? And I'm like, no, I just know God's got everything in control. He's going to work it out. The process is horrible. Submit your will to Him. Can I tell you, Jesus did. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. Amen. Do you read that? Who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God and at the throne of God. See, the problem is we're looking here, and God tells us you need to look down the road. You need to understand that I'm coming back for you. You need to understand that I will return to get what is mine. You need to understand this world's going to fall away. You need to understand we are going to be with Him in eternity. Jesus did it. Paul did it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 18. Previous, before we get to this verse, he says, look, there are people that are preaching Christ for sordid gain. There are preaching people that are preaching it with the right spirit. He said, look, there are people preaching it just to criticize me. He said, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. And he's in prison. Go on and look in Philippians chapter 4. And he says in the last, I think it's verse 22. He says, look, I greet you and also Caesar's household. You know what was happening? I love this. You know what's happening? They had chained him to guards. And they kept on changing out the guards. Why? Because they kept on getting saved. So when Paul says, I bring you greetings from Caesar's household, them boys didn't know what they'd been chained to. In prison, chained up, going through trials, beaten, stoned to death, shipwrecked, whipped, killed for his faith. And lastly, say yes to joy. Why? Because you have done it. You've done it. You've gone through trials. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. Look, 2 Timothy talks about there'll be a great falling away. There'll be people's lovers themselves and haters and disobedient to parents. Folks, I'm seeing it. We're having a great falling away. And people can make all kinds of excuses. I understand we have elderly that are probably safer at home, but there's people making excuses after excuses of why they're not coming to church. They're falling away. A trial happened and their faith was weak. Can I just say before I close? You're not going to get an A+ on every trial you go through. Some of them are going to rock the foundation you live on. When I was 9 years old, my big brother was killed in a car wreck. And I remember when my cousin came up to me. He was a little younger than me. And I don't remember anything anybody said except him. And now that I look back and I'm like, I don't think it was him. I think it was God. He said,
aren't you excited that your brother doesn't have to deal with this anymore and he's in heaven? I was 9. I think he was like 7. And at the time I was going, how dare he? I'm a big brother. I need a big brother. I remember my mother going to the funeral. And folks, let me just set this principle. I lived in a small town, Hampton. My dad was the pharmacist of the only pharmacy in town, okay? We knew everybody. When I say everybody, everybody. I got whippings at the laundromat. I got whippings on the back street. I got whippings in a truck diesel mechanic shop because everybody knew. And back in the days, anybody could whip you. You got me? So when we pulled up the First Baptist Church for my brother's funeral, there was to say the sanctuary is packed does not give it justice. There were people standing outside. There was a basement full of people. There were people everywhere. And my mom was in tears. And I don't know what was being said or what was said. I know who preached the funeral, but I know when I left that place, my mama had the biggest smile on her face. Does she miss him? Yeah. Still cries every August 31st. That's his birthday. But can I tell you the opportunities after opportunity she has had the chance to minister to people who have lost children? Did she ask for the job? No. But she got it. One of the most faithful people I've ever met in my life is my mama. And I think it's because the trials that she's gone through. She went through this horrific time. I don't know if I've told this story or not. She hated her job. I told her, I was a little brash preacher boy back then. I said, well, just quit your job and have faith that God's going to give you a new one. Week before Christmas. That wasn't a good thing to say because mama went in and quit her job. January the 4th, mama had a new job that she absolutely loved, worked there for 15 years, working in alcohol and drug rehab for homeless men. Loved it. So, for your consideration. Consideration means to evaluate before you think about or before the decision, to think about it. Warren Worsby says, he sums up this passage so beautifully. I'm going to close it with this. The question is, what is our value of the evaluation of what God puts us through to what we get? What is the value of your evaluation? It's coming. Trials are coming. Persecution, whatever it may be, death and family, trials are coming. But would you heed the words of basically what the Holy Spirit says? Consider it joy. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for bringing us tonight. Lord, we thank you for the word that you've given to us. And God, we live in a fallen world with fallen people and fallen situations, and trials are going to come. There might be some going through situations right now. And Lord, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. But Lord, may we understand that you just don't do things haphazardly. You allow, you cause things to happen in our lives. You can keep it from us. But Lord, you test us because you want us to be yours. You want us to be complete. And I pray that you would do a mighty work in our lives, in the lives of Grace Baptist Church. And Lord, we pray for a pastor who's probably going through the biggest trial of his life right now, that when he gets down, that he can see joy. We thank you for loving us. And as we leave this place, may we give you all the glory in everything that we do and say and think. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless y'all.